This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Roll over, Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising.
So I guess it worked out for Tommy Pham. Last year he could have signed a two-year deal worth $4 million for 2 years. Instead, he got $4.1 million for 1 year, won his arbitration case with the Rays.
Boy, would I have loved to have seen that. Usually arbitration cases sound super boring, but Tommy Pham talking himself up and explaining why and responding to what the Rays said, I'm sure, as to why he's not worth a lot of money would have been entertaining television.
I wonder if Bob Nightingale would know, like, the details. Did he have his agent in there during the hearing, or was it Tommy himself?
It sounded like Pham was there.
Because I know he tweeted out right away
that he saw the business side of it. So it sounds like Pham seems like the kind of guy who would want to be there.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Brian, he deserves to make $4.1 million if you look at, you know, his OBP, 21 homers, played good defense, slugging. He's a $4.1 million player. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If not more. I'm sure he's disappointed that that's what he got. But I'm sure when he rejected the deal and he was betting on himself, and you mentioned he's getting more money out of it, but I'm sure he had a bigger number in mind for this year's arbitration than $4 million originally.
So he it was going to be – they raised offer 3.5. I wonder, too, if he could just stay at this elite level for a little bit longer when he becomes a free agent, then he could really cash in.
I don't know. I can't read the market anymore. I don't know what's worth what.
Oh, not crazy money, but boy, you put up those numbers and you're a free agent. I don't know. Of course.
Over 30, though.
Yeah. Huh. All right. Let's see what else. Oh, Vince Young. Gosh.
Mm-hmm.
At one time on top of the football world, after that Texas-USC game when he had that moment late, he had the entire game. You just thought he was just going to walk on water. Instead, it was kind of a checkered NFL career, and now his second DUI. That's kind of sad. Served 18 months probation after pleading no contest in January of 2017 to a drunk driving charge. So, all right, I do want to say this. I did watch my first Sopranos last night.
Okay, and your thoughts?
I thought, midway in, what is redeeming about this show? How is this getting me closer to God and making me a better person?
Well, I mean, to be fair, the shows you watch, none of them do.
Well,
Breaking Bad didn't bring you closer to a higher power.
Yeah. But I'm trying to improve here, brother. So, but I was thinking that, but I didn't turn it off. And then the fact that they kept mentioning his neighbor and his doctor, Dr. Cusimano, it made it more intriguing.
Who actually is not a bad person.
Dr. Cusimano
no.
isn't? I have not seen
he's
him
not,
yet.
He doesn't have a big role in it, but he's just, he's a doctor. He's not considered a bad guy. He is more of a first season person, and then he kind of trails off.
Oh, he's off.
Yes,
pretty quick.
Yes.
I'm wondering, is Miss? You can go ahead and tell me. Is Miss Bracco and are they going to become romantic? The psychiatrist?
No.
Oh, really?
No, not without trying. I'll say that
he took a shot.
Yes.
All right.
More than one.
And then I immediately read a bunch of stuff about his death. 51 years old Rome after eating
death.
A huge meal and having 8 drinks at the meal. Then he passed out and had a heart attack right afterwards. And I found it kind of fascinating that 2 of the drinks were pina coladas.
Ha! You'll see, and I rewatched some episodes recently, James Gandolfini gets a lot bigger as the series progresses. Yes. Like, he's in decent shape in season 1. Kind of, I mean, not thin, but
yeah, you're right. He's not repulsive.
But although, not huge. But
I would have preferred to see him not in the swimming pool with the robe on. And
right, yeah. Right. But the robe is kind of his thing with the cold cuts. Oh, yeah. but yeah, as the season progresses, James as a person does gain a fair amount of weight.
I didn't even look. How many total seasons?
I think it's 6, but the last, HBO does this thing, and I think Breaking Bad did it, is like that last season is split into 2 portions. So it's a big last season.
All right, a couple of business items before we get Mr. Nightingale on the phone. Maryville University students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support, beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. Maryville sponsors our listener line. Go to their website, maryville.edu. And I also want to tell you about our title sponsor, Hollywood Casino. If you're looking for a place this weekend to watch the games, how about being there on a Friday night at 6 o'clock and watching the Billikens play at St. Joseph's on ESPN2? Now, that sounds like a fun way to spend a night where you can have sample one of their 99 different beers, have some of those great appetizers, maybe do a little people watching afterwards, a little bit of gambling. This is really a cool place. And when the Blues needed a practice facility, well, they went, Hollywood Casino actually stepped up and said, hey, look, we got the land. Let us take care of you. And that St. Louis Ice Center is going to be one of the best in the history of St. Louis. 4 sheets of ice, 3 of them indoor. They'll have concerts out there. Hollywood Casino is definitely the place to be. And speaking of concerts, there's nothing better than the Hollywood Amphitheater in terms of great music. Boy, that's just a great place to watch it. Best concert I ever saw was Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago at Hollywood Casino a couple of weeks ago. So if you get a chance, stop by Hollywood Casino. So, Plowsy, that Illinois optimism. Last night, packed house. I kind of like the fact that they stormed the court. I know some people say, act like you've been there before. But, gosh, you know, when you're 8-15 and you just knocked off number 9 in the country, go ahead and celebrate.
Most of the time, I don't agree with the rushing the court. This time, however, you don't have a lot to celebrate. You've just actually witnessed Illinois lose to Florida Atlantic on that court like a month ago.
Wow.
So you have to at least celebrate the little things when the season is going south, as it has been for Illinois, as it has been for the last few years for the University of Illinois. So I didn't mind in that scenario, in that case, that they rushed it, because it's not only a Big Ten opponent, it's a top 10 team. So in this situation, you got to celebrate a nice victory. So I was all for it. And it looked to be a packed house.
Are there a lot of articles written about the future of Io DeSumo in terms of him staying or going? What are you hearing?
I mean, for the most part, during his recruitment, he fell in love with Champaign, Brad Underwood, the University of Illinois. So I think that will give him another year, and he needs to fill out. He's a very small statured point guard.
All right, let's switch topics and talk a little baseball. We're joined by the great columnist with USA Today, Bob Nightingale. Bob, great to be with you. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, Frank.
Well, first of all, right off the bat, what are the odds that the DH could be in the National League as early as this season?
I think zero chance. You know, it's a, you know, if that was the case, teams don't approach, you know, the free agency, everything else different. So it's not going to happen this year. It could happen next year. I'm thinking more after the collective bargaining agreement. You know, it's a thing for 2022 season. There's too many National League owners against it. And a lot of the in the hardcore National League cities, you know, like, you know, St. Louis and Cincinnati, you know, want no part of it. I think it's definitely coming, but I don't think it's coming now.
All right, you wrote a provocative piece about how embarrassing it is with the way Major League Baseball has handled free agency. Elaborate, please.
Well, it's just you have the biggest stars still sitting out, you know, and, you know, nobody knows where they're going. You can't market those guys. You know, people already turned their season ticket, you know, renewals. You know, it's like when a guy's a free agent in football, a guy's signing within a week, you know. LeBron James is only out there for a few days. So it's just the fact that, you know, spring training starts next week and these guys are still sitting out there. You know, something's wrong. You know, they're not even coming close to signing. What frustrates them is that, you know, Anshel Rodriguez signed that 10-year, $250 million contract back in 2000. You know, revenues have tripled since. And no one willing to make that kind of offer now. I mean, these guys are prime free agents. So I think the players and the union are saying, you know, where is this money going?
In terms of money, I mean, look, let's face it. All summer we were talking about the possibility of Machado and Harper getting close to 400. Is there any chance they get 300 as we speak?
I think there's a chance for Harper to get 300. I don't think Machado, as it stands now, I mean, he's not giving me offers at all. So, you know, the fact that Harper turned down $300 million, you know, it's deferred about $284 from the Nationals in September. You know, you would think he's got to get at least that just to save face. But, yeah, certainly not $400.
Do you think that $284 is still on the table from the Nationals?
I don't. I think it's definitely off the table. So, you know, they've spent $200 million in free agency ever since. You know, $140 to Patrick Corbin. They also want to sign Rendon. So there's, you know, no way they can sign both of them. And I think they prefer to get Rendon.
We hear there are mystery teams out there, and we know that the Cardinals have publicly committed to Dexter Fowler. But do you believe the Cardinals are monitoring this thing? And who knows, could just kind of sneak in there with Harper?
I think, you know, only if you took like a, you know, willing to take a 2 or 3 year contract or, you know, short term, I think it's possible. But I think it's unrealistic. And I don't see, you know, Harper signing a short term contract. I really don't. So, no, I don't think I don't think the Cardinals are a mystery team. I'm not sure, you know, there's even a mystery team out there.
So, does it look like Harper will eventually end up in Philadelphia, or is it still completely up in the air?
I still think Philadelphia is going to get one of these two guys. I mean, they're sitting on a pocket of money there, you know, willing to get to somebody. They just don't want to bid against themselves. So they're trying to be smart about this. So they'll get one, and you know, it still seems like Harper's the best fit there. And I'm not sure that's, I don't think it's his first choice to go there. He would have preferred, you know, the Dodgers or out west. He either lives in Las Vegas or San Francisco, but there's, you know, those teams aren't interested.
Is any of the lack of interest on Machado attributed to his perceived lack of hustle, actually real lack of hustle, or do you think that has nothing to do with it? It's just that teams are just not going to go crazy here in this market.
I think it's something to do with it. You know, makes him less marketable. You know, he's not going to sell as many tickets as a Bryce Harper. So I think that's a factor. You know, he's a hard-nosed player. You know, guys in the clubhouse like him. But those comments and some of those actions and spiking, Aguilera at first base with the Brewers, you know, that speaks volumes too. And, you know, I'm not sure you're going to be able to, you know, market him as a true superstar.
So your gut feel where he plays next season is Chicago White Sox?
Yeah, I'm still sticking with the White Sox. I just think that makes the most sense. You know, they got the only big offer out there for him. You know, they got his Barlow on the team. Yonder Alonso, who happens to be his best friend as well. John Jay is a friend of his. So those guys are certainly recruiting him, you know, to come play with him.
What do we know about Arenado's future in Colorado?
Well, I think he's staying now. I think both sides are very, very optimistic. So, which will help out Machado if he just only want to go 1 year contract without Arenado next year. You know, he's going to have a market to himself. So I think Arenado probably signs there, you know, somewhere in a 6 year deal type thing, you know, over about, you know, $30-$35 million a year.
So with him likely staying in Colorado and the Cardinals likely not being in the Machado and Harper sweepstakes, what kind of pressure does that put on the Cardinals to keep Goldschmidt? Because there's not many face of the franchise players out there. Don't they just have to keep him now?
Well, you know, on the flip end, Paul Goldschmidt sees what a lousy free agent market's been the last 2 years.
Okay.
He's 32 years old at the time of free agency. So, you know, I'd say the Cardinals are kind of the driver's seat, too. It's like, you want to not have a nice extension for us, or do you really want to hit the free agent market where everybody's going to talk about how old you are and everything else? So I think it actually helps the Cardinals, the fact is free agency is so bad right now.
Well, that's an interesting angle. Yeah, that's good. What type of optimism or any do you have for Dexter Fowler having a renaissance season?
Yeah, we see guys back, you know, come back all the time, you know, when people think they're down and you're not the same player, you know, whether it was a David Ortiz years ago or Nelson Cruz. So I think he's very driven and motivated. You know, I think he's embarrassed by what happened the last 2 years of that contract, you know, getting big time money and not producing. So, you know, this is the year. And if he doesn't do it this year, then I have my doubts whether he can do it the next 2 years. But I, he should have fallen off the cliff, this fast. So I think he bounces back, and I think he has a nice year.
We're talking with Bob Nightingale, Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all-new 590 The Fan. With the Cardinals adding two marquee all-star players, and with the Cubs being relatively quiet in this offseason, and you knowing the depth of the Cardinals' starting staff, do you think this 25-man roster is as good as the Chicago Cubs right now?
I think it's very close. And throw the Milwaukee Brewers in there. I think the three teams are probably, you know, within five games of one another in terms of talent. What St. Louis needs to, or what the Cubs need to do is just stay healthy. I mean, you Darvish to bounce back. They need a Jason Hayward to step up. Kyle Schwarber to have a strong year. So, we'll see. They have to have some more things go right. And Brewers, we'll see if they can, have that same magical season as they did a year ago. And the Cardinals are right there. And, it may come down to just whoever makes the best trades at trade deadline.
Well, what about this angle, too? And I could see how you could say, well, they're not better than the Cubs, but they're really close. But let's just say that Alex Reyes is healthy and he realizes his potential. And he's probably the most talented Cardinal or has the most gifts. If Alex Reyes gets 20 or 25 starts and you throw him in with the rest of the staff, boy, that seems like a division winner. That's a big if, though.
Yeah, no, certainly they certainly have more pitching than the Cubs or the Brewers. So we'll see. Josh Hader had that kind of year again. Yelich. A lot remains to be seen. So no, I think it's be a fun division. Just for those three teams, I think you can flip the three-headed coin as far as who wins that division.
Give us an idea of what your spring training looks like, Bob Nightingale.
Well, I'm going to start off in Arizona this year instead of Florida. I'm thinking of the Kyler Murray situation. So does he show up? Does he play baseball for the A's? So we'll find out that out in a hurry. Ichiro Suzuki, if he wants to be on that opening day roster so he can play in Japan, is he going to retire after that, continue playing? After those things, I'll be in Florida for about, 10, 12 days and then zip back to Arizona.
Well, what's the best case scenario for Kyler Murray, or who's he been compared to? I mean, is he a can't miss major leaguer too if he decides to play?
No, that's the thing. He's not a can't miss. He's not a Bo Jackson. Has a tremendous, baseball players. Bo Jackson was an all-star baseball player. DM very good. So, remains to be seen. Some teams, think he's a fourth outfielder at best. Some don't even think he can make it. Very, very raw. So, I think he's going to play football, and then if football doesn't go well, then come back to baseball. Trouble is, it'd be, even that much more raw. Missing a couple more years if he can't cut it in the NFL.
Bob, great stuff. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Frank.
All right, Bob Nightingale, USA Today. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can text in 855-282-8255. We'll get to the text when we come back. Maryville University listener line is wide open. That same number. Their Digital World program provides students with free iPads loaded with textbooks and more than 150 apps. Go to maryville.edu. And you need good eyes to read those apps, and that's why you should go to Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 866-260-EYES. Tell them I sent you. You can get rid of the contacts and the glasses forever. And that surgery, I'm telling you, it lasts like 11 or 12 seconds. It's the laser surgery. He's one of the best in the country at it. He also does custom cataract surgery. Performs on both sides of the river. He is something else. 866-260-EYES, Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers. Text when we come back.